All right, if you wish to follow along, turn to Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. It's not the Corinthian church. It's the church at Corinth.
Yes, sir.
There is not a Corinthian church and a Roman church and a Crow West Virginia church. There is the church at Corinth, Rome, Crow, wherever. Paul's second letter to the, as soon as I said that, now I've got to make sure I'm going to say that, the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Read the last few verses of that chapter. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry, or that is the service, of reconciliation. To wit, in other words, he said, I'm going to explain again, explain this. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, at the same time that this was taking place. You see it? That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word, or that is the declaration of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Consider this. Reconciliation. What a word.
Yes, sir.
Reconciliation. Now, let me state from the beginning, there is but one reconciliation.
Amen.
There is but one reconciliation. Reconciliation has, I might say, three facets. But there are not three reconciliations.
Exactly.
It's all one reconciliation with three facets to this reconciliation. This is something that most of professing Christianity does not understand. And I know that because not because they talk about three reconciliations, but because they teach this. Jesus died to make it possible that we be reconciled if, and then they add in things that we do.
Exactly. You're right.
Now they are in effect teaching that there are different reconciliations. What Christ did wasn't really a reconciliation, but it can be if.
Exactly.
Then we move or act toward God, and then God will act mercifully in reconciliation toward us. That is not what Paul says here. Is it?
Exactly.
It's not what he says here. Man, the unregenerate man, can even read the Scripture and he will read into his own mind what he thinks the Scripture's saying because he or she cannot bow before God's Word when it declares exactly who God is and what He's done.
Yeah.
Reconciliation in all its fullness will be realized. Reconciliation in all its fullness, in all three facets, will be realized. Because my title is this, and it's indicated here in the text, God did the reconciling.
Amen.
You see it?
Amen.
God did the reconciling. That's my title. That's my subject. Three things, briefly. God did the reconciling. No one reconciles themselves.
Yeah.
Exactly. Somebody said, it says, be ye reconciled to God. Yeah, he doesn't say, go get reconciled to God.
That's exactly right.
Hmm? Yeah. Look at what it says. And all things are of God, who hath, it's past tense, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, not by anything we did, even those things he gives us as free gracious gifts.
Amen.
But he reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, to wit, that God was, past tense, that God was in Christ reconciling the world. And what's he mean? He means Jew and Gentile.
Yeah.
He means men and women.
Mm-hmm.
He means Chinese folks or Australian aboriginals.
Sir.
That's what he's talking about. He does not mean, and nowhere does the Scripture teach, that Jesus Christ reconciled all mankind without exception. Because it's clear to wit, I am explaining, Paul said, that God was, past tense, that God was in Christ, reconciling, that's a past tense, the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them.
Amen.
Whoever this world is that Jesus Christ reconciled, God is not putting their trespasses to their charge.
Exactly.
And that's past tense.
Amen.
God did the reconciling.
Amen.
In other words, any present or future receiving of reconciliation flows from the actual reconciliation being accomplished.
Amen.
That's what he says here. And thirdly, God did the reconciling.
That's right.
The reconciling. God reconciled the world to himself.
Amen. Amen.
He did not make it possible for the world to reconcile themselves to him. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself.
Amen.
What a gospel subject.
Yes, sir.
What a gospel reconciliation. Reconciliation is, let me give you three things again. Remember, there are three facets. I've talked to you. God did the reconciling. God did it.
Yes, sir.
God did the reconciling. That is, God did the reconciling. And God did the reconciling. Three things again. What is reconciliation? Well, reconciliation is, number one, to bring, this is scriptural reconciliation. Not Webster's dictionary. Now, Webster's dictionary is certainly correct concerning reconciliation. And the basis of the word is in the meaning of it is true. But we're talking about what the Bible means when it's talking about reconciliation. Number one, it means this: to bring two vastly different parties together.
Amen.
And I emphasize vastly different. God, the Holy One.
Amen.
Us, ungodly sinners.
Amen.
The world.
Yeah, that's right.
The world.
Yeah.
That's often God, when God talks about the world, it's done with disdain. The title is used with disdain. To bring two vastly different parties together. Secondly, reconciliation is to bring the one offended party. Now, in this reconciliation in Scripture, there's only one offended party.
Yes, sir.
In the world, sometimes we have to reconcile two offending parties, right?
Exactly.
And both offending parties must give or take a little. In the Scripture doctrine of reconciliation, it is to, the meaning is to bring the one offended party full satisfaction of justice.
Amen. That's right.
That's the teaching of Scripture.
Exactly.
Thirdly, reconciliation is to bring the offender, to bring the offender to reverse and willingly submit to God.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
That's what it means. Now, you don't hear people preaching that. They talk about giving your heart to Jesus.
Exactly.
They walk down the aisle with usually not even a tear or two, chewing their bubble gum and blowing bubbles and popping and just smiling away. When we're talking about reconciliation of ungodly men and women before a thrice holy God.
Amen.
Reconciliation is to bring the offender, and it's individual. We don't come in as a group.
Exactly. That's right.
We come in individually in this matter. To bring the offender to reverse and willingly submit to God. Our crimes, and I use it that way intentionally, because I'm trying to express, we don't know how bad sin really is in the sight of God.
You're right.
We got an inkling of it. We as believers do. But we really don't get it. It probably frightened us out of our minds.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Joe, what little bit I do know about it frightens me out of my mind.
Exactly.
Our crimes offend God.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mason and I talked a little bit about something along this line. You know, in God's holy law, certain sins, certain trespasses, certain breakings of the law demanded physical death. Mm-hmm. Others did not. But there is a passage in Scripture that is sounded forth by the prophet, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's not physical death. That's absolute separation from God.
Amen.
That's what it is. And that means any sin.
Yes,
it doesn't say the soul that murders.
No.
It doesn't say the soul that commits adultery. It says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. My soul. This soul has sinned.
Yeah.
It's a crime against God. It's a crime against God. And God in His holiness demands my death.
That's right.
Separation from Him.
Amen.
And let me tell you, there is a sense in which every man and woman on the face of this earth ought to be thankful that right now they're not separated from God.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't care what you're going through, how bad it is, it will get worse.
Exactly.
At the judgment.
Yes, sir.
Outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our crimes offend God. Let us know this. We need reconciliation, not God.
That's it. Amen.
God was reconciling the world to Himself.
Yeah.
He wasn't reconciling Himself to the world.
Exactly.
He don't have to reconcile Himself to the world.
Amen.
He's not offended the world. The world has offended Him.
Amen.
Reconciliation cannot, that is the scriptural teaching, reconciliation cannot diminish God's holiness. It must be honored fully.
Yeah.
Reconciliation cannot diminish God's character. Reconciliation cannot diminish God's law. Justice must be satisfied fully.
Amen.
In reconciliation.
Amen.
And God must be fully honored and satisfied in reconciliation.
Amen.
God will take nothing less than absolute justice.
That's right.
And this is something else that professing Christianity does not preach.
You're right.
Moreover, it's tighter than that. It's tighter than that. God determined what the need was.
Yes, sir.
God determined what was actually needed to accomplish reconciliation.
Amen.
Here's what I mean by that. No human opinion was asked.
Exactly. That's right.
No debate was set forth.
No.
No negotiations were entered into.
That's right.
No exceptions. God alone determined what was needed for reconciliation.
You're right.
He does not ask us about it.
Amen.
Christ has reconciled. That's what
Amen.
Paul said, did he
Amen.
Not? God is not imputing the trespasses of the reconciled to them. Is that what he says?
That's what it says.
That's what it says, doesn't it? God sends His ambassadors to proclaim this reconciliation, to serve it, to announce it, and to cry out, be ye reconciled to God. And as I've said two or three times, this declaration is three-faceted. Somebody says, well, what does he really mean? He means everything that reconciliation entails. And when he says, be ye reconciled to God, he means everything that that entails.
Yes, sir.
All of it.
Yeah.
Our minds love to find that what is the one real meaning? It means everything that the whole thing means.
Exactly.
And it's three things. That is this, be ye reconciled to God. It is first of all, this is the foundation. This is the foundation of it. It is a declarative accomplishment.
Amen.
Be ye reconciled to God. We'll look at it in a minute. It is secondly an evangelical command.
Yes.
Be ye reconciled to God. And it is thirdly and an associative encouragement.
Yes, sir.
Be ye reconciled to God. And we will look at these three things. As I said, it's a declarative accomplishment. Joe done read it to you this morning. Look at how Paul states reconciliation in Romans chapter 5. This is how he states it. He gives more details to the actual reconciliation here. Look at what it says, Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength. Now, can you take your place there?
Exactly.
Will you take your place there?
Yeah.
Can you? Will you? Will you? Can you? As Joe said, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter. For when we yet were without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? The ungodly. Can you take your place there?
Exactly.
Will you take your place there?
Yeah.
If at this moment, anyone hearing my voice says, but I'm not ungodly, then you've got no right to believe Christ died for you.
Amen. That's it.
Period.
That's what he says.
This is what it says.
Yeah.
Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely. For a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. Notice Paul's saying, in this thing of God, is actually opposite of what men do.
Exactly.
You see it?
Yeah.
But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, can you take your place there?
Amen.
Will you take your place there?
There
while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who? The sinners.
Amen.
That he's talking about. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, not friends of God,
that's right,
not believer, before we were even believers,
that's right.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, and now he says it, how? By the death of his son.
Amen.
That's what God says it took.
Amen.
By the death of his son. And he said, it's done.
Amen.
Much more being, and some say you could actually read that, having been.
That's right.
And as far as I've checked, that seems to be most appropriate. Being reconciled, much more. Wait a minute, let me read it. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? By the death of his son. That's it.
Amen.
By the death of his son.
Amen.
Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Amen.
You see, he died to accomplish the reconciliation, and he lives to make sure it finds its fullness.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what that says?
Yeah.
See, I didn't just draw these things out of thin air.
Exactly.
This is what the book teaches. The one who wrote out the will, you know what I mean? Like when someone's going to die, they write out, before they die, they write out a will. And then they, what does it take to bring that will into force? The death of the testator. The death of the one who writes that will out.
Yeah.
But that one, in human terms, once you die, you got no power or authority over it anymore, do you?
Right.
But the Lord God of heaven and earth in the person of his son died to ratify that will, but he lives still to see that it is carried out.
Amen.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it says. It's a declarative accomplishment. You remember what Christ said to that leper? That leper said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. What did he say? Here's a declarative accomplishment.
Yeah.
Be thou clean.
Amen.
You see it? That's what he means when he says, be ye reconciled to God.
Amen.
It's a declarative accomplishment. Why? Based upon the death of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And think about this. Christ's death has infinite merit.
Yes, sir.
Our deaths have no merit.
Exactly.
Merit! His death had infinite merit.
Amen.
Well, you know, men say, well, if it's just death, why don't each person die for their own reconciliation? Right? But that's natural minded.
Exactly.
That's trying to enter into negotiations after God done settled it all by himself.
Amen.
And plus, it says the wages of sin, that's what you get for what you do.
Exactly.
The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ did not earn anything.
Huh?
He died willingly under the judgment of God Almighty, and thus his death had infinite merit. Do you see the difference? It's the difference between look who died on that cross, Jesus of Nazareth, and see me hanging on that cross. Total different worlds.
Amen.
I would have deserved to hang on that cross.
Exactly.
He didn't deserve to hang on that cross.
Right.
Did God let you see the difference? And Joe, that's but just a smidgen of it.
Exactly.
Just a smidgen. Think of it. His death was penal. Turn back to Isaiah, and if you wish to. I'll go through this pretty quick. His death. Here's the infinite merit. Here's three of them again. It was penal. Isaiah 53, the first part of verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Do you see that? Bruise him. Not that. And then you get a bruise. The word in the Hebrew means crush.
Exactly.
Crush!
Yes, sir.
God the Father crushed His Son when He hung on Calvary's tree.
Amen.
He crushed Him. You say, what's that like? I don't know. And I don't want to know.
Amen.
Yet it, please, that doesn't mean God's sitting up there laughing. No, we're talking here about some satisfaction.
Yes, sir.
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him, who did, God put him what? To grief. To grief. When thou shalt make his soul. Not just his body, Mason, but his very inner being.
Amen.
When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin.
Amen.
That's infinite. That's penal.
Yeah.
He punished him. I mean, look at, he punished him as a criminal, though a criminal he personally was not.
Amen.
But when he hung on that tree, he hung there as a criminal. Because he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And God seen them there.
That's right.
God the Father, the Holy God, seen them there in his Son. And he crushed him.
Yes, sir.
And he put him to grief. And God said, this is what I demand.
That's right.
This is what I demand. Not only is it that, not only is it penal, but it's vicarious. Look at verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Thus saith, it was vicarious. He died in the stead of a people.
Yes, sir.
Here called my people. And nowhere in this book do we read that every human being without exception is God's people.
Exactly.
They are all his creation. But they're not this my people.
Amen.
In other words, Joe, if he died for me, he died in my place.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
In my, he didn't just die to show me how men ought to die.
Yeah.
That's of no value whatsoever.
Exactly.
It's no value whatsoever. He died in my place.
Amen.
What he went through.
Sir.
He went through, so you and I, if he died for us, don't have to go through it, so that we're not crushed and put to grief by God, even though we all still today deserve it in ourselves.
Yes, sir. That's right.
But it was also, thirdly, satisfactory. Look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. That is, he's raised from the dead. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul. And shall be, what? Satisfied.
Amen.
God said, this is full satisfaction of justice to me.
Yes, sir.
And somebody says, well, I don't understand all this. God's not asking you to understand it. He's saying, bow down to it.
That's it.
Bow down to it. This is what I demand. Bow down to it.
Yes, sir.
This is what I demand in your place.
Yeah.
Bow down to it. Bow down to it. Yeah. Oh, and then is it not what Paul said? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, last verse there. For he hath made him to be sin for us.
Yeah.
Who knew no sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See
it?
It's all that Joe summed up right there.
Yes, sir.
And Paul's even like bringing a quote, a partial quote, from the book of Isaiah itself.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what a glory. But I also said it's evangelical command. Get an idea of what I'm talking about. Look at Acts chapter 13.
Yeah,
it's evangelical command. Be ye, is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Be ye reconciled to God. The first meaning of it is this. As Christ told that withered up leper, nastiness and sores, he said, I will. Be thou clean.
Amen.
That happened at Calvary, Mason.
Yes, sir.
That happened at Calvary.
Yes, sir.
But it's also an evangelical command. Look at chapter 13 of Acts, verse 38. Paul's preaching Christ here. And he says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. That can only come when God's been, what? When God has reconciled someone to himself.
Amen.
Can't happen any other way. But notice he says, not offered. We're not offering anyone forgiveness of sins. It's proclaimed.
Yeah.
Preached.
Yeah.
Declared.
Yeah.
That through this man is preached. Not through your asking forgiveness.
Yeah.
Through this man is preached unto you forgiveness of sins. And who do you know that was then? How do you know then? And look. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. Jesus Christ came to forgive the sins of believers.
Amen.
And believers only.
Amen.
Look. And by him, all that believe are justified from how? All things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. This ain't for everybody.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he goes on to say?
Exactly right.
This ain't for everybody.
Yeah.
Now, how many preachers are preaching that today? They won't. They refuse. Why? Because they will not be ye reconciled to God.
Exactly.
Look, beware. Therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets, behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I will work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you.
Amen.
Better look out.
Yeah.
Better look out.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You might be one of those who will believe won't believe no matter what.
Exactly.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Hmm? Now you see how Paul preach the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
It is an evangelical command. Believe Christ. What's that mean? Bow down to him.
Yeah.
Believe who he is and what this book says he did.
Yeah.
Hmm. It means to lay down your weapons.
Yes, sir.
Be ye reconciled to God. Lay down your weapons. I mentioned this to Joe. I don't think I told him the story. You all remember the one about the chicken and the pig? Huh? You know the one about the chicken and the pig? Chicken and the pig were walking down the street early one morning, and both of them were quite hungry. And they were discussing about how hungry they were. And they walked along the street a little more and looked across the street. And there's a restaurant that says, bacon and eggs for breakfast. And the chicken says, pig, look, bacon and eggs for breakfast. How's that sound to you? And the pig said, oh no, not for me. For you, it's a contribution. For me, it's total surrender.
Exactly.
You get what I'm getting at?
Yes, sir. That's right.
For me, it's total surrender.
That's right.
Folks, that's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
This thing of be ye reconciled together in its evangelical facet is total surrender.
Amen.
Don't try to negotiate with God. Don't try to debate with God. Don't try to question God. What am I talking about? What weapons? Here's just a few. Pride. Pride in yourself. Hatred. Mainly hatred for God. I don't like that, God. That's hatred for God.
Oh, yeah.
That's not what I believe. That's hatred for God. God said this is what it is.
Amen.
This is what it is. Excuses. Not today.
Yeah.
Not today. Self-justification. But. Well, that may be true, but. And you start to justify yourself.
Right.
Well, self-righteousness. I don't really need that. Yeah. It ain't that bad with me. Yeah, it's that bad with me.
Exactly.
It's that bad with you. It's that bad with me. Self-will. I just don't like that. Doesn't matter what you like. Bow down to God. Bow down to His Son. Throw your weapons down. And aren't we glad that according to Paul in the same epistle, put it this way, chapter 10, God's going to make some people throw down their weapons. And that's the glory.
Yes, sir.
That's the glory. Look, 2 Corinthians 10, Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down what? What's up here in my mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
If you're one of this world that Christ reconciled, God will bring you down.
Amen. Yes, sir.
How many people are preaching that out there that profess to be Christian preachers? Amen. God will bring you down.
Amen.
And isn't that what Paul said right here in our text? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, when God crushes you, crushes your hand where it's like a bloody nub, even when you try to reach down for another weapon, Mason, you're reminded, God's crushed that weapon out of my hand.
Oh, yeah.
Here it is. He says, what? I'm a new creature. Why? Because I see that now. When once I had those weapons fighting against God, now they're crushed. My castle walls have been crushed and obliterated. And I'm exposed for what I really am. And I see Christ for who He really is. And I thank God for it.
Amen.
I thank God for it. Remember the chicken and the pig. Oh, God, make us see that we're pigs.
There you go.
Total surrender. Total surrender. But I said it's also associative encouragement, that is being reconciled to God. What do I mean by that? Turn to Philippians, and let's let the scripture define itself. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. It is this. It is be thou reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. It is associative encouragement. It means to unite to and dwell upon this.
Yes, sir.
Look at what Paul wrote to the Philippians and to us as well.
Yeah.
Whether he knew it or not, Joe, he was writing to us.
Yes, sir.
Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Reconciliation is one of those subjects, folks.
Yes, sir.
Be ye reconciled to God. Comfort yourself with it. Do you see it? Yeah. Comfort yourself with it. It's okay. God says it's done.
Amen.
God's crushed your castle walls.
Yeah.
He's crushed your weapons in front of you.
Yeah.
You know it now. You see yourself exposed and conquered by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Rejoice in it.
Amen.
It's a good thing.
Exactly.
It's a good thing. Total surrender. It's a good thing.
Yes, sir.
This world hates it.
Yeah.
Don't they?
You're right.
But there's a world that He reconciled.
Amen.
And He reconciled them through an accomplishment 2,000 years ago. And He's sending out messengers crying out. Crying out. Be ye reconciled to God. Bow down. That's our part in reconciliation. What? Bowing down to what God's done and said.
Amen.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And then associative encouragement. In other words, when all's said and done, God gets all the glory.
Amen.
Why? Look at it again. Our text, 2 Corinthians 5. And all things are of God.
Amen.
The declarative accomplishment, Joe, that was of God.
Yes, sir.
The evangelical command, sending out somebody, giving them the ability to speak. Everything. Yeah. Giving you the ability to hear. All of it. It's what?
Yeah.
It's of God. The associative encouragement, being encouraged by this to continue on. Stay down in the dust before God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
Stay there before God Almighty. And then when He needs you to stand, He'll lift you up.
That's right.
He'll lift you up. Why? Because all things are of God. And then go back to Romans 5, where Paul was actually defining this reconciliation. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, he said, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. Now, that word says atonement, but you check it. I'm right. It means reconciliation. That's the word. You see it? So, Mike, who gets the glory in all this? God gets all the glory.
Amen.
And guess what? We reap all the benefits.
Amen. That's exactly right.
And that ain't about a good deal. That's about God Almighty being honored.
Amen.
Isn't it? Now that is reconciliation.
Amen.
Oh God, teach us these things. Help us to declare them, preach them. But not only that, Lord, help us to believe them.
Yes.
Bow us down before your Son. And Lord, enable us by your grace and mercy and compassion to rejoice in it and be glad for it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. That's good.
Thank you, Job.